Hey, tonight, I really want to share more than preach. There's some things that I feel like it's almost like strategic and very important that we do. And tonight we're going to be talking about praying. And notice the word praying is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not something that we look at. It's not just a word that we post on the wall, but it's something that we should be doing. So tonight, obviously, I'm speaking to people who know what there is to pray. You've been around a lot of prayer. We've prayed a couple of times during the service tonight. So as we go down this road, there's a reason that I want us to do that. But I bet you didn't know this unless you've been listening closely. But as you go home tonight, since it's going to be a nice, clear sky, you need to look at the moon. And there's a reason for that, because evidently, this is the closest the moon has been to Earth in a long time. Now, I don't know how long it's been since it ended. They said something about it, and I quit listening because when they said it, this will happen again, when it'll get this close to Earth, you know, and I don't know how many miles it was, I'll be dead. I promise you, it's that long. I'll be dead before this will happen again. So I want you to pay attention to that. But I also want you to understand that there's people in their lives, you know, when God moves close to them, they register it in decades. There's these big gaps between when God shows up and when they feel real touched and they feel moved and God does something significant in their life, in their prayer lives, and their enthusiasm, their reason for living, all these things get stirred up and then it gets put back on the shelf for a number of years sometimes. And that's very, very sad. Can I just tell you that tonight when we start talking about praying, every time we take one step toward God, He takes a huge leap toward us. You know, He registers that. It's a daily thing. I think that sermon, and as a matter of fact, we talked about it Wednesday night about the prodigal son. It's interesting how that we focused on the father instead of the sins of the son. We focused on the actions of the father last Wednesday night. And the father was constantly, every day, checking the horizon to see if the profile of his son would pop up over the horizon, running home to be received, you know, into his care. Now, the son's attitude was, can I just go home and be a servant? I mean, I've really blown it here. Can I just go home? And sometimes that's how we go to God. We're just going, God, would you just please let me sit around? You know, I just don't want to be noticed. I just want to be closer to you because I know that's where I need to be. And God says, you're all a part of this. You're part of this. You're a family. I know who you are. So tonight when we talk about this praying thing, I realize there's a million sermons on prayer. There's a whole lot of things that we've talked about prayer. There's illustrations of prayer. There's people who have been powerful examples to you and I as prayer. There's some powerful examples and stories of prayer in the Bible. But tonight I just want to lay it on you and I that in the next few minutes, for at least a few minutes, that I want to call us to prayer. That we would just embrace a couple of things that I think it's exactly very, very crucial. You know, this thing about the moon, you know, being close to the earth. I mean, that's kind of cool. It's astrological. It's whatever. But it doesn't move me. I mean, I'm indifferent to it. If I hadn't heard it on the radio, I wouldn't even be telling you about it. But it's pretty significant to some people. And it's something that just kind of has happened. There are some things that have happened in our world in the last week or so that has caused the Christians to realize that we play a very, very important role in what's going on. And if we're not careful, where we don't want God to be the kind of God who created the world, just kind of started it spinning and said, good luck, see you later. We don't want to be the kind of Christians that when things start happening in our lives, in our world, in our economy, in our government, I don't think that it's a good thing at all to just step back and say, well, we'll see how this thing goes. I think God has called us to play an incredibly important, significant role in what's happening. And there again, like I said this morning, that vote thing, it's easy to just kind of minimize your impact or your participation because of the sheer numbers. It's easy to just back out and say, well, I don't think I'll make much of a difference. But the thing is, it's not about what difference you would make in concern with the pack. It's what God wants to do with you in the indifference that you have. So I want to just guide you with that as we go through a couple of things. I want us to pray over five things tonight. And this is just, I realize that the list could be endless. But I just want us to pray for five things. First of all, let me remind you of this, that it's not our words that make our prayers important. It's not the posture, whether you're on your knees or standing. It's not where we are, whether we're in a closet or at these altars or just driving down the road in your car. We realize it's the position of your heart that makes prayer so significant. And that's so important, because sometimes when we see different examples of prayers or different things about prayer, we tend to sometimes, if we're not careful, if we didn't have the right feeling or if the right results or if it wasn't, you know, confirmed in a certain setting and that type of thing, we think that it was just maybe a useless exercise, but it's not. I got to tell you, some of the most significant prayers you prayed is probably things that would not even register on the radar in your book as a big, big prayer. But I'm just excited to think it one day, I just really believe this with all my heart. There's going to be a lot of things revealed in heaven. And I think that one day we're going to step into heaven and go, wow, I had no idea that one little prayer that I prayed, somebody just said, hey, I have this need or whatever, would you pray for me? I have a feeling without a shadow of a doubt that the prayers that I might get a little excited about over up in heaven are never going to be the ones that I stood as the pastor of this church with maybe the oil in my hand and prayed over somebody. I don't think that's going to be the biggies. I think it's going to be the ones that probably didn't have anybody there, but God laid a burden on my heart, and I decided to bow my heart in prayer, get on my knees and pray for this person. They didn't know about it. There's no big deal. Didn't register as a biggie, but I just was loyal in prayer. And that's what's going to happen to you and I. So tonight I want us to talk about prayer. Now, most of you either have a tradition, a longevity, type association with prayer through the church. I think about our young people, and guys, I just want to say this, okay? It's easy to grow old and develop habits because you've done them all your life and let it be significant, but it's even greater when the younger you are, the more you realize this incredible relationship you have with God. Because it's real easy to let your parents pray for you. It's real easy for your pastor to pray for you. You know what I'm saying? And that's not a letdown at all. It doesn't mean you don't care. I know you do, but it's real easy to think in terms of the fact that I'm going to wait until later. You don't never really mean this, but it's easy with our lives to just wait until there's a certain time when I'm going to really get involved. And a lot of churches, most people don't really get involved in responsibility until they have a title. When you become a Sunday school teacher, you become a little more aware of what's going on. If you become a board member, you start stepping it up, thinking, I have to do this, I have to do that. If you become a pastor on a church staff or whatever, at work, how many people really just kind of do their job until they're given a title? And God says, this isn't about titles. This is about who we are. So let me share these things with you before I rant and rave a little bit longer. The first thing I want us to pray for tonight is I want us to pray for wisdom. There's a word that I want to associate with wisdom that goes kind of hand in hand with that. It's called discernment. With wisdom, it means that we are trying to literally go from this day forward, whether you're encouraged because of an election that we just had, whether you're encouraged because of the economy, whether you're encouraged because of the constant financial or physical state of your being, whether your body is telling you we need to make some smart decisions, or whether you're trying to just become mature in the things that you do, we need to be reminded that your wisdom, if you're not careful, godly wisdom, but we replace with just experience and maturity. And those are great things to have, but if they're not guided through godly wisdom, then you know what? You're just doing what you've done before, and you've learned a few lessons, and you've learned to cut a few corners. Now, I know he hates when I do this, but every time we go on some kind of construction thing with Leland, I just go, God, I just wish I'd have been a carpenter or something. I wish I'd have been in construction for years. I'd be a lot better help. Leland can just kind of look at something and go, and it's done. And it takes me 20 minutes just to get the tools together. And it's just crazy. But you know what? He did that because he's done a lot of those things. But I'm going to tell you what, there's certain times that I bet that he would even admit, and I don't know this for sure, but I guarantee you there's times that he had to go, maturity and a lot of experience will get you to this point, but you got to stop and think about these things sometimes. What's the wise thing to do? Because see, there's a godly aspect to every part of our life, whether it's our business, whether it's the way we conduct our family, whether it's the way we conduct our lives, whether it's the way that we get up out of bed every day and go and attack the world. There needs to be a little wisdom involved in this. Let me take you to that verse of scripture that's already on the screen. James, the first chapter, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, sometimes we get scriptures like this, and it's cute and it's wonderful. It reminds us that God will give us wisdom, but we tend to exclude the gravity of the entire scripture. It says, if you lack wisdom, it doesn't mean that you're dumb, doesn't mean you're stupid, doesn't mean that you're uninformed. It just seems you just need some wisdom. I mean, there's sometimes you got to make a decision. And they're going to pick on the young people just for a second. Bless your heart. You know what? You start dating people. That boy starts hanging around and your mom and dad, you know, they don't like him or whatever. And you just have no idea why they don't like that guy. He's a jerk in the first place, probably, but, you know, and he's a boy. That's all it takes. Because I tell all of our little girls around here, said, boys are evil. And they look at me and go, but my dad. I go, no, he's your dad. He's not a boy. And what about my brother? He's your brother. He's not a boy. You know, I just kind of playing with him and stuff like that. But, you know, the whole thing is that sometimes we can't see things that God sees. Now, everybody else has an opinion about your life, don't they? Remember that word? Remember that little famous saying? Prayer changes things, and everybody else has a plan for your life? Well, it's God that we want to hear his plan. What is he wanting to say to us? We need wisdom sometimes in everything that we do. Every certain big, it's not just the big things, just the common sense things that we do. It would be a great start to us being people hooked into what really God is wanting to do. The second thing is this, we need to pray for the president. Now, I'm not getting political. If I had preached this before the election, I would have been political. But we have a president who's been selected. I don't know if your side won or not. I know how a lot of people feel. But here's the sad thing, and I'll just say it openly because I don't have any problem with this. There's a lot of us, and I'll throw you in there, that we voted for the lesser of two evils. We voted more for someone who was not that person, if you will. You see how middle of the road I'm running here? See how I'm really trying to be careful with the way I say this? But it was real easy to say, I don't want that person, so I'll vote to this person. That's not a great way to make any kind of a choice. But at the same time, it's the only choice we had, wasn't it? But it is our duty as citizens of the United States of America, much less citizens of the kingdom of God, to be involved in the rulers that are over us, the people that God has placed over us. And yes, I will say that God has placed over us. Now, you may want to say that God allowed to be there. That's fine. I don't care how he got there, but that's where they are. You realize there was a day when God had a whole lot of kings that he didn't like, and they were all Jews and everything else. And I think that God was still in control back then, and I don't think we have to really freak out over who's in control now. But we have a responsibility. Proverbs 21:1. I love this verse of Scripture. It puts me back in the feeling that God's in control. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. I don't care how much power the Constitution gives one person or one body of legislators. I don't care what's happening up there. I don't care how out of control you feel like it is. We have to start playing a role of responsibility and praying for these people. You don't have to like them, but you got to pray for them. These people are making decisions about our life. And you know what? You can talk about trickle-down economy. There's trickle-down decisions, you know, morally and otherwise, that are going to affect us. We need to play a role of responsibility and pray for these people. Now listen, I pray for a lot of people that I didn't really like. You ever done that? Okay, come on, let's just be honest. There's some people that I'm probably not going to invite them over for dinner. But the need outweighed the attitude or the feeling that I had about those people. Now, I don't know why I'm having to feel like I'm, you know, selling you something. I feel like I'm convincing you of something. But here's the thing. We have made a decision as a nation. And if you relinquish your responsibility to pray for this nation, and especially these leaders, and unfortunately, or fortunately, Donald Trump, regardless of how many times he's going to represent us in the spiritual realm or not, you need to pray for this man because he is going to be in the heart and in the hand of the Lord. And God will use him any way he wants to. And we can use that for leverage if we want to, but it does not relinquish the responsibility that we have. Who are we? Take this church among all of the thousands in there in the United States of America. What are we going to do? I know what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And just like that vote thing, we're going to participate and we're going to have our role of responsibility and we're going to ask God to direct him in the right direction. The third thing is the economy. Everybody's concerned about finances. Things have not been easy for a long time. I mean, things have been up and down and it's scary. You know, I think about, you know, every time they start talking, I can't represent these things. The unfortunate thing is that I'm not an economist. You know, I've never been a financial advisor. I don't know that I do a super great job with even my own finances. I hope I do. You know, I'm I'm not in debt, and I'm not, you know, using your money. I haven't embezzled anything from the church lately to try and do something, you know. And I mean, I'm trying to make some wise decisions. Were you worried about that in the first place? Whether, you know, cause hopefully, but you know, there's all these things that we deal with. So you know what? It can be overwhelming to where we're crushed. I want to just share some things with you that we as believers, as individuals, need to be reminded of. They're on the screen, Psalms 37. I was young, and now I'm old. Hey, here's the psalmist, and he's an old guy. He's seen everything. He's been there, done that, gone through it. He says, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Listen, we don't throw things like out there just to be comfortable, because there's times you have to make big decisions. And this isn't about comparisons either, because the truth of the matter is your worst day financially still makes you the richest person compared to about 75% of the earth's population. But this is not about comparisons either. This is about our position in God, and when we begin to pray, we need to pray in confidence that God will help us. Listen, if you're praying to be rich, you're praying to the wrong thing. You need to pray for God's provision. You need to be praying for God's protection. You need to be praying that prayer of wisdom over the financial decisions you're making. Some of you need to learn a brand new word. It's a little bitty word. It's called no. You do not buy this. You just don't need it. You know, whatever. But that all comes in the economy of God. You know, the problem is we look at the economy, we get freaked out. But you know what? There are no accidents in the economy of God. There are no accidents in the kingdom of God. God knows what's going on. So we need to play a role of participation. Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We've heard it. We know that. It has found a place fertile in our soul to where that grows, but at the same time, applying that is a much different issue. We have to just seek him first. Crunch the numbers all you want, but if you're not seeking God on one side, I don't know that things are going to start adding up until you start getting to the place where you're trusting God a whole lot more than you're trying to move things to make ends meet. Let me jump to the fourth one, morality. We need to be praying for the morality of our nation. Listen, we can go anywhere on this. We can go back to what Billy Graham said years and years and years ago, that God is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for the way things are going in this nation. And there have been speaker and evangelists and, you know, prophets and everything all over the place understanding about this morality thing. I will just say this. It is nothing more than alarming to me to understand where the morality of our world is going, only because it tells me again and again and again, we are cruising at flank speed right toward the rapture. I'm telling you, this world is speeding out of control. So listen, as much as it is alarming and something you hate and everything, on the other side, you need to be excited, because it's just telling you that God, what he said was going to happen is coming. There's going to be a great falling away, but there's also going to be a huge revival. You know what? It's kind of cool, because I think God's starting to split the crowd. And like you said, they're going to really find out who's for who and who's for what. So let me read this scripture to you. Morality, Ephesians 6, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, what does he say? Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It is one thing to say that is wrong. It's another thing to stand against what is wrong. You know, there's a program, I haven't seen it in quite a while, and I don't even know if they still do it or not, but they have this reporter, and I can't even remember what it was, but they would set up these scenes like in a restaurant, and they would have these people, like, I saw one episode, they had two girls over here, and they had one girl on the other side of a booth. And they were mimicking the situation where these two girls just thought they were all about it. And they were making fun of this other girl, putting her down, telling her she's ugly. And they wanted to see what the people around them would do. They wanted to see whether somebody would intervene. And sooner or later, somebody would get up and start correcting their behavior and say, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. And they would put their arm around this little girl and say, listen, you know, you're a person and all this other stuff. And then the TV crew would come in and say, you know, you had no idea when we were filming this. We just wanted to see what you would do. The sad thing is that there's a lot of times that those things just get ignored. We need to play a role of intervention. And if we can't do it physically, we can do it spiritually. We can let God rise up within us a righteous indignation that says, you know what, enough is enough. I've said this for a long time, but it scares me for our young people. Listen, God's going to protect them. If they follow God, God's going to take care of them. I'm worried about our young adults, the incredible things that they're facing, because they are coming from a generation to where the things that we were learning, we meaning those of us who are this old and older, we were learning this when our late teens, maybe our early 20s and that type of thing, but they're getting it now in junior high school, if not elementary school. The TV alone is just bringing stuff right into our house. We're not talking about if you have pay cable TV and all this other stuff. We're talking about stuff that's just coming across through commercials and everything. They're being bombarded with these things. You know what? It's not going to change because it's going a direction that God predicted, but so do the people of God need to go in a direction that God encouraged them, that we begin to pray for the morality of our nation. It is still true that I believe that we can stand up in our position, in the place, in the authority you have, even if it's just in your own family, we can still make decisions for our family and the people we influence, regardless of what other people think about us, but it will take prayer. You will have to make that decision in prayer before it will ever happen at the grocery store or at the Quick Trip or at your school or at work. It's never going to happen there if it doesn't happen on your knees. So this brings us to the obvious conclusion. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. This is so overused that sometimes it sounds like just another clip that we're going to use through 2 Chronicles, but we need to go and visit that because it starts with a very important little two-letter word, if. If. You know, that word if is an introduction that says, this has not been decided. If you want to go, if you do this, if you do that. It still is based upon a decision, but it says there, if my people who are called by my name. Notice God isn't calling people that he doesn't know. He's calling his people. They're called by my name. You know what? Everybody in my family that has my last name is my family. They're called by my name. That's because we're identified together. As the body of Christ, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called by his name. If you will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's a whole other sermon that you don't need to hear tonight, but just stop, look at those steps. Humble yourself. This isn't about trying to be something that you're not. This is about falling before God and saying, God, we beg you upon your mercies. This is about what you can do. I can't tell you how many times in the last couple of services I've had this conversation and have ended up telling somebody, listen, it's not what you do. It's not what you did. It's what he did on the cross. The way that you're going to survive this, the way you're going to get better, the way you're going to get healed is because you look at what Jesus did and not what we can do. That's a humbling thing because we want to be big boys and girls. We want to control it. We want to handle it. But the longer you hold on to it, the worse it gets. But the minute you release it, it becomes the possession of God. And that's what we do in humbling. And pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. You begin to see that God is not going to sit back idle. He's not like a lot of things that we've experienced going, we'll wait and see. Because we've had those people, hadn't we? They've come to the altar, they've prayed, and they've been back and forth or whatever. And because of their track record, it's like we go, well, we'll see if it sticks this time. You know what? God's so secure in his own ability and authority that he commits every time. He doesn't wait and see. There's no proving. That's why we know that we were accepted unconditionally, because it wasn't about, okay, we'll see if you straighten up, give you a couple of weeks, if you quit cussing, you quit doing this, quit doing that. No, that's not it. God says, I love you unconditionally. He said, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin. And what is those last few words? And I will heal their land. I will heal their land. Is there promise for your family? Absolutely. Is there promise for this community? Absolutely. Listen, Claremore would be signified or identified, if, in my opinion, this is a cool little town. It's just far enough away from a metropolitan area that can be its own entity. And it likes its small town mentality, those quaint little shops. And, you know, like the Veterans Parade on Friday was really cool. I mean, they had everything. They had a million motorcycles, and they had the police, you know, and the fire engines, and they had 15,000 bands, you know. And they had all of these veterans, and they had golf carts, and Model A's, and Model T's, and, you know, and convertibles. I mean, it was a long parade, but only lasted an hour. It was really cool. And we can do all these things, but you know what? We're not to be hidden over here doing nothing. You see, we didn't come out here to be isolated from the world. God says, I need you involved. And if you will seek my face, humble yourselves, and pray, I'll forgive you your sins. And here's it, heal your land. Wouldn't it be cool if we really understood that the responsibility we're taking on isn't just for us? It's easy to pray for my family. It's easy to pray for my close friends. It's easy to pray for this church. But God wants me to pray for people I haven't even met yet. And that's hard to do because I don't have names and faces. But God says, where I want you to go is you seek me because I know them. I know them. So tonight, this is how I want us to just end. I just want to give you an opportunity to pray. We've given some guidance, a little direction here. I would like for you to just pick out one of these areas. I'm going to go back over them just real quick. And I just want you to grab one of them and just pray for that specifically for a few minutes. And then just let God lead you in whatever prayer you want. But let's pray for the wisdom that we need. We need to make some smart decisions individually. You know, we'll get to the government later, but let's pray for the wisdom that we need, the discernment to make the right decisions. People are looking and they need to make us to make the right decision. We need to pray for our president. His name is Donald Trump. We don't know where this thing is going to go. We don't know what it's going to lead to. We don't know what we're going to like and dislike. We have a pretty good idea of what's happening, and I don't know whether we're pleased or not, but I know one thing. He is the president of the United States of America, and I prayed for all these other guys. I need to pray for him. Did you see my shoulders slump when I said that? Didn't that feel like a defeated comment? You know, it's like, are you kidding me, God? I didn't even vote for him. Uh-oh, I just kind of let the bag. I'm not talking about the president. Anyway, never mind. There's some people I didn't vote for, but God said, you need to pray for them. Oh, that is so difficult. But you see, it's honoring the position. I don't need to give you this lesson, but we all know it. It's honoring that position and what it's worthy of prayer a whole lot more than the person that owns that position. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for our economy. Listen, God, give us help. God, just rescue us financially. Help us. That's common sense. Pray for the morality of this nation. We may not make a whole lot of choices, but we can pray that people will escape some of the horrible things that are out there and the decisions that are being made and the things that are thrown in their face. And let's take up a sense of responsibility, and let's do that. Amen? This is what I want you to do. You can stay in your seat if you want to. I'm sure that many of you want to come to the altar. Pick out one of these. I want you to just give God 5 minutes, okay? Would you just do that? Can we just fill this place with prayer for a few minutes before we leave this place tonight? I don't want any music playing. I just want to hear the prayers of the people. That's what God wants to hear. Let's not muffle it tonight with any music. Instead, let's amp it up and just let our voices be heard. Amen? Okay, I know you'd rather have the music, but let's do it this way. On your mark, get set, pray.